We are beginning a new series entitled Following Jesus, and I hope that's part of your New Year's resolutions. This morning we're looking at God Keeps His Promises, and we are in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. And this is the story of Mary and Joseph going to the temple for the purification rite for Jesus. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of all your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "The child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at following Jesus, and this morning we're focusing on God keeping his promises. First, I want to start with something a little humorous. I heard about this little girl, and she looked up at the Bible that was always sitting on the family mantle, and it was never open. It was quite dusty, and she looked at her mother and said, "Whose book is that?" Her mother was a bit startled, and she replied, "Well, honey, don't you know that's God's book?" And the little girl thought for a moment, and she said, "Well, don't you think that it's better to give it back to him? No one here ever reads it." I know it's a little close to home for some people, but anyway, in the new year, new resolutions, I hope reading the Bible will be a part of it, as well as worship and prayer. I don't know if you are a New Year's resolution person. I am. Of course, there's those ones that are quite common. We think about folks, a lot of folks want to save more, get less in debt, or lose weight, work out more, improve a relationship. Those are some of the most common. Myself and my daughter, we always do goals. We give thanks for last year, then we do goals for the new year, make some New Year's resolutions. Some of mine this year, personal level, were some of the same as last year, but to increase my culinary skills another notch. So brought up a little bit last year, want to see if I can't bring them up just a little bit more, spend more time with my daughter, and to work out regularly. I know those are probably on a lot of your list as well. And we think about our promises and what that does for us in the new year, sort of a new momentum. And this morning, I don't want to focus so much on our promises as to think about God keeping his promises this morning. And I think as we look at this scripture passage this morning, there's some great spiritual truths to discover for us this morning. So I invite you to walk back into the story. And so it was that Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. It was about an 8-mile trip on the 40th day. And that was to fulfill the law of Moses, which required this consecration rite. And so for you and I, it probably wouldn't be a huge deal, right? I mean, get in the car and take the baby to the church or wherever. But for them, remember, they had a donkey and they had to walk that 8-mile trip. Now, the first time I ever put my daughter Savannah in the car seat, that was a little, you know, unnerving. You know, I was just a new dad, and she's just this little baby, and you got to make sure it's, you know, everything's right in the car seat and that sort of thing. But imagine Mary and Joseph on this donkey. You know, poor Mary on a donkey holding this baby for an 8-mile journey. Joseph walking along the way. It wasn't an easy trip. And so they had to be anxious and nervous as new parents, any new parents would be. But to add to that, the promise that had surrounded this special baby Jesus. And there are many exciting things about that and things to celebrate, but there was also the nervousness of the role that Jesus would play. And so you can only imagine as they came into the temple, they have two older and wiser people who come around them with words of encouragement. Now, I remember in my own life when I first changed Savannah's diapers. I have to go back. So glad she's not hearing this right now. But it was an unnerving thing. And so there were some older folks around who kind of helped us along with that. And then it got easier. But in this moment, when they bring Jesus in this special moment, these two older people, unrelated, but people with long resumes of experience, came around Mary and Joseph and even baby Jesus and shared some wisdom and encouragement about God's promises. And I think that's a special moment. And the first one was Simeon. So Simeon comes up, and somehow the Holy Spirit had whispered to him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, the Christ, come. And he comes up to Mary and Joseph, and he takes the baby Jesus in his arm. Then he speaks these beautiful words that are known as the Nunc Dimittis, which means now dismiss. And is also the words that we speak at a funeral, for the commendation usually. And so they're beautiful words. He says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, meaning he'd seen the promise of God to fulfillment. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of all your people, Israel. And in that beautiful prophecy and fulfillment of that prophecy in a moment, he includes both the people of Israel and the people of all the world. And so he's saying, this is coming to pass. And so that had to be a beautiful affirmation to Mary and Joseph. And Mary had some affirmation and encouragement from Elizabeth, this older woman, but now they had pilgrimage there to Bethlehem, and they were far from home, and they must have felt very alone. Perhaps even Herod and his people were looking at this time for a baby, and so they didn't know the future, and so they faced this moment with some fear and trepidation, and Simeon gives this beautiful prophecy of fulfillment, and they had to feel affirmed, one, Mary and Joseph, that this promise was being fulfilled, and Simeon had to feel God keeps his promises. God has indeed fulfilled his promise. Simeon goes on to say that a sword will sort of divide the people of Israel and also pierce Mary's heart. And so he also included with the encouragement a word of preparation for her. Now it had to be bittersweet in some sense, but he was also preparing Mary and Joseph for perhaps the tragedy ahead. It was fulfilled, obviously, when Mary stood at the foot of the cross, as recorded in the Gospel of John, and saw her own son crucified. And so, indeed, a sword would pierce her heart, but there was a note of hope they had there that this would be the salvation, the working of salvation to all peoples of the world. And so Simeon shared that with the couple. And then right at that moment, Anna comes up, this prophetess that we know something about. And we know that she was married for 7 years and then became a widow. And now that she's 84 years old and she has spent a lifetime in service in the temple, fasting and praying and encouraging others and serving God. And it's interesting because Luke, we're going to be journeying through Luke's gospel this year as we journey towards Easter. But some of the themes of Luke's gospel is that he shines light on many of the women in Jesus' life and ministry. And so he shined the light on, we think about Elizabeth, and obviously Mary took center stage. And now Anna has kind of a starring role in this moment. And so he lifts up her. He also, some of the themes are the Holy Spirit and the work of prayer. And so that's both in Luke as well as in the follow-up in the book of Acts. And so he has a moment where he shows Anna. And you can think about Mary for a moment, how this must have been encouragement for her, this 84-year-old woman, full of wisdom, and then comes forward and encourages her in this moment. We don't know the words that she spoke, but we know that they meant a lot to Mary and also to Joseph. And I think in this moment, we just see that God keeps his promises. I think that's the number one thing to underscore. God kept his promise to Elizabeth and Zechariah. They had a child in their old age, even though they'd waited decades for that child. God kept his promise to Mary and to Joseph, and protected them. God kept his promise to Simeon and also to Anna, that they would see the Messiah. And I think it's amazing as you go through all the scripture, you see that God is always faithful to his promises. It doesn't mean that things will never have a moment of challenge and adversity, but it does mean that amidst it all, that God will be present with us and that God will be faithful. We think about Moses, who was promised that he'd take part in freeing the Israelites from slavery and oppression to freedom and new life. He had to go through a chapter where he was 40 years in the desert, and then he had to face the challenge and adversity of Pharaoh and the plagues, but God was faithful. We think about David, who was anointed by the prophet Samuel when he was just a young man, a shepherd in the field. He had to wait all the time that he was a young soldier, and then later when Saul was pursuing him, but God was faithful to make him king over Israel. And there's many other chapters where God is faithful in all of life, and so I think in this moment that Luke wants to whisper to us, and certainly Anna and Simeon want to whisper to us, that God keeps his promises. But I think in our own hearts and lives, the question I have for us this morning is maybe what promise has God whispered to you? That through the years, maybe you felt like maybe that promise has gathered some dust. Maybe you felt like that's been shut out by adversity or difficulty, or maybe you felt like you've made a wrong turn in life and you can't get back on course. But God's word is like a GPS that's always rerouting. If you're like me, sometimes you like to take a little, you know, side road, but the GPS sort of figures it out. God's will and God's word will bring us back on course if we just turn to God and trust God's Spirit to lead us and guide us, and that God will fulfill his promises in life. I love that promise that Luann read from Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:20. And there's lots of different versions of this, but my favorite version of it is that the promises of God are yes and amen to those who believe. The promises of God are yes and amen to those who believe. You know, a lot of times we see the shadows around some of the promises, and we've been through adversity, we've been through difficulty. Mary and Joseph had a lot of difficulty ahead of them. They had to flee to Egypt. They had to worry about Herod coming after them. But God was faithful through it all, and God was bringing God's salvation to all people, a promise that he made to Israel and to all peoples of all nations, and God was at work. And so in your life, what promises today, in this new year, would you like to bring before God and trust God and to polish up and to dust off and to know that God is always faithful in his life and work to us? There was a wonderful interview. I don't know if you're following. Tomorrow, by the way, is the national championship for NCAA football. All of my teams are out of it, but, and I like coaches actually for Clemson and for LSU. I do feel Ohio State was cheated. We won't go down that road. That's some bad calls. But in any case, kind of cheering for LSU. I like both coaches. I don't know if you saw the interview this past week with Coach O from LSU. He's a remarkable man, a person of deep faith. And he was sharing about his chapters in life and the vicissitudes that he's been through. And he shared how that when he was at Ole Miss, that he had made some calls in a football game where he got a little emotional and probably was the wrong call, and he got let go from there, and then that was a season of sadness, and then he became the interim coach at USC. And he shared with his wife and also with the reporter who was doing the interview how that when he went there, he just said to himself, I'm going to treat these young men like my own sons. We're going to be a family. And so he went there, and one of the things he did was to institute this team dessert. They had dessert every week together and said, we're going to be a family. We're going to share. And if you're off your nutrition and training for one little dessert, it'll be okay. And so they really bonded, and they turned the course in USC, who had a very difficult season up to that point, and they started winning some games. He was really having some momentum. And he was really hoping that he would get the position as head coach permanently of USC, but then he was heartbroken when they let him go. And the reporter asked him how bad it was when he was let go. He said, well, he said, it was my family. He said, to be perfectly honest, next to the death of my father, that was the hardest day in my life. And he started to tear up about that. And the reporter said, well, that's really amazing. He said, they were my family. And so he said, well, what happened then? He said, well, I went home and I shared it with my wife. And she looked at me and said, God's got something better. And the reporter said, what'd you say? He said, well, I said, it better be good. So now tomorrow he's going to lead LSU. They're going to defeat Clemson, I think. But anyway, but the more important thing is he just shared how his faith got him through that chapter where he felt like all things were lost and that God's promises didn't seem to be guiding him through the darkest night. But God's promises were faithful, and of course he's going to take the team and play in the national championship game. You might not have a chapter exactly like that, but I think most of us have had a moment in life where we feel like, oh, wait a second, this is off course. This, something's happened that's beyond the power of God. I think Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph would whisper to us that God keeps his promises. God doesn't promise that we'll never see hardship and difficulty, even heartbreak, but God promises that he's there with us and God will keep his promises. The last thing I'd just like to reflect on, and this isn't the highlight, but maybe in a new year, what might God be whispering to you to promise to God? Maybe you want to dust off that Bible that's been collecting dust on the mantle. I try to read through the Bible every year. I usually use a Bible app, and you can get it so it reads to you. We can do it the old-fashioned way. I do both. Maybe pray and worship more. Maybe there's other things that you can do, like serving others a little bit more. But I hope that we all will renew our faith and our love for God and our love and service for others in God's name. And if we do that as individuals and as families and as a family of faith, then I think that we'll be a light in the darkness, come what may. And we can trust that God will keep his promises. I'm going to just take a moment and read for you a collection of promises. And these aren't the entirety of the Bible, but a collection of promises in the Bible, real short, real sweet. And I know you can't remember all these, but if there's one there that's sort of sparkling to you or God is whispering to your heart, then hold on to that for this moment in the new year. And so these promises, first of all, God promises his presence. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's protection. In Genesis 15:1, I am thy shield. God's power, I will strengthen you. Isaiah 41:10. God's provision, I will help you, also 41:10. God's leading, when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. God's purposes, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God's rest, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God's cleansing, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's goodness, no good thing will he withhold from them that work uprightly. God's faithfulness, the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. 1 Samuel 12:22. God's guidance, the meek will he guide in Psalm 25:9. God's wise plan, Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of them that love God, who are called according to his purpose, and most importantly, God's love, God's everlasting love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I don't know what promise means the most to you. There are more promises than that in Scripture. But at least let two or three of those promises touch your heart. They may have been promises that you cling to some time ago, and maybe either through the trials and adversity of life or just the darkness of the moment, they seem to have been dusted over. Well, God is still faithful. Hear this witness of Simeon and Anna. Hear the echo of Mary and Joseph hearing the words of encouragement through the ages and know that God is faithful and God will keep his promises to you. I want to close with this thought, and that is, if you know the story of John Coltrane, if you're a jazz musician or a jazz fan, you've probably heard of John Coltrane. And John Coltrane went through a long season in his life where he wrestled with addiction and adversity. He tried to quit different kinds of addictions in his life and to no avail. But at one point in his life, when he was really wrestling and things seemed darkest, he had a God moment where God just broke through it all. And he was suddenly and miraculously healed from those addictions. And his life was forever changed. And he would give his witness when he was doing a concert, but he wrote a piece called Love Supreme, a Love Supreme that was about his experience with God. Because the whole album has movement, like a long orchestra piece. It's just incredible. And he used to play that at the end of his concerts later in life. At one concert late in life, he played it so beautifully and it meant so much to him that he walked out on the stage afterwards and spoke these words from Simeon that starts us off. He said, Nunc dimittis, now dismiss. He felt as if that he had given his life, and God had given God's life to him and this love supreme, and that he, because of God's fulfillment of his promise, could go before the Lord whenever God would take him. In fact, the nunc dimittis is what we say is a commendation at a funeral, knowing that God has kept his promise in life, God has kept his promise in death, and God will keep his promise in eternal life. That's the strongest promise that God can ever keep to all of us. Whatever promise you need in this new year, know that God is faithful. God will keep his promises to you. God has a plan and purpose for your life. So hear the whisper of Simeon and Anna in this moment, and Mary and Joseph, and know that God will keep his promises. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about this new year and promises that many of us make and many of us don't keep, we know that there is one who does keep their promise, and that's you. And so today, Lord, help us to restudy ourselves in the foundation that is a sure foundation, which is your word and your promises. Fill us most of all with your love. Heal us from any hurts from the past. Help us to see the light of day that we find in your love. And Lord, help us to find our way through life with your promises. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.